Did you sleep well? Yeah, it was all right, wasn't it? It was. Found the bed was a bit short, personally, but. Could have been worse, I think. So, let's pray as we look at this passage together. Father, we pray that you'd help us now to look at these words and think about how they address us as we think about fear and worry and suffering in this world. We pray that you would be with us, you'd speak to us, help us to trust you as we read these words. Amen. So, do keep the Bibles open at that passage. When it comes to fear, there are a lot of things to be afraid of, to be paranoid about. You know what they say about paranoia? Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. Fear takes many forms. It's different for all of us. There are background fears, fears about safety, about death, about life after death. Big picture fears about whether you've chosen the right path in life. Fears about a lonely future. Fears about being hurt by people. Then there are kind of phobias, spiders, snakes, needles, those kind of things. I found some pretty extraordinary phobias on the internet. There's venustrophobia, which is also known as calignophobia. This is the fear of beautiful women. There's autodisomophobia, fear of body odour. Nomophobia. People who are very afraid of losing cell phone contact. So if anybody here suffers from nomophobia, then I feel very sorry for you this weekend. Lutrophobia, that's the fear of otters. Ephebiphobia, the fear of teenagers. Triskaidekaphobia, fear of the number 13. This one's my favourite. Arachibutyrophobia, fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. Now, it's easy to giggle, and those do seem a little bit silly, but these kind of fears can be very real, can't they, to people who suffer them, even if those around them can't understand them at all. And actually, it's helpful to say that, because part of the problem with fear in general is that often it is completely irrational. It is immune to reason. So just saying, don't worry, doesn't really change anything. Because I am worried. If I could stop worrying, I would. But there's something deeper going on than kind of faulty logic that can be corrected just by saying, don't worry. Actually, what's going on is my heart has been gripped by something that isn't God. So all human beings are worshippers. We all worship something. And naturally, we are all drawn to worship things that are not God. So we worship maybe success or money or family or comfort or other things like that. I'm sure you could think of other things. But the problem with not worshipping God is that not only is it sinful and it draws God's anger, that is enough in itself to be a problem, but actually it's also utterly foolish. Because it's hugely messy. And a lot of the fear that we feel as a result of worshipping other things, a lot of that fear is a result of us trying to be in control of our lives rather than handing over that control to God. It doesn't work. See, I think it's going to be better if I remain in control of my own destiny, if I can just control everything that happens and I can say how everything works and then I'll be okay. I think that's the best thing for me. But actually, that makes me terribly anxious and worried because I know that I'm not in control at all. The reality is that I can't have that control that I'd love to have. So what actually needs to happen is that I need to be weaned off my worry by being weaned off those idols and back onto trusting God alone. And that is what these verses in Luke 12 are about. They're about increasing our confidence in God so that we can trust him and not be afraid. one of the big things to realize here is that it makes all the difference that this is God who is saying, do not be afraid. It's not me saying it. It's not Jonty saying it. It's not the government saying it. It's not your boss, not your parents, not anyone else. It's God who's saying, do not be afraid. Think about it like this. If your washing machine breaks down and it's flooding the kitchen with water, don't know if it's ever happened to you. It's pretty nasty if it happens, isn't it? And I turn up in your house and I walk in with a big smile on my face and I put my arm around you and I say, look, don't worry. I'm here. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious about your flood. I'm going to sort it out. I think you'd have every reason to be more anxious than you were in the first place, not less. Because I don't know anything about washing machines. I'm not Lord of the Plumbing. So it's no good me telling you not to be afraid. But here is Jesus, who is God, telling us not to be afraid. The one who controls the wind and the waves, as we saw last night. And I wonder if the end of the reading came as a bit of a surprise. So we get verse 32, do not be afraid, fair enough. So verse 33, we're thinking, okay, how can I be weaned off this worry about all my possessions, all my stuff? You know, how can I be weaned off that? And what does he say? Sell your possessions and give to the poor. And you're thinking, what? Well, I'm worried about food and clothing. That's what these verses before are about. And those are the I'm worried about losing them. And Jesus' conclusion is that I should get rid of them. That is precisely what I was worried about in the first place. So how does this work, Jesus? Well, we get to the point where instead of worrying about our possessions, we're ready to give them away by realizing what kind of God is calling us to live in his kingdom. See, he is our sovereign, generous Father. Now that is what he proves in these verses. He proves that in two ways. We see that in our two headings on the sheet, if you've still got that. See, we know that God is our sovereign, generous Father, and that we therefore can trust him for two reasons. Firstly, he cares for things that are less valuable than us. He cares for things that are less valuable. So let me just read that again from verse 22. Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. So there are the birds. This is an argument from the lesser to the greater. So you can trust someone who pays careful attention to small details. It's like when you go to a restaurant and you're wondering how much attention they pay to health and safety and cleanliness, perhaps. So you're a bit concerned about what's going on in the kitchen. Is there going to be food poisoning as a result of eating here? Are they keeping their surfaces clean? All that kind of thing. But because you're British, you feel a little bit awkward about just asking them that straight out. You can't just march into a restaurant kitchen and demand to see whether they're keeping everything clean. But it's okay, there is a solution. You can go look at the toilets. Because if they keep the toilets clean and well stocked with soap and hand towels and the rest of it, well, you can guarantee that they're going to do the same in the kitchen. See, the toilets don't really matter. But if they've paid attention to that, there's no way that they're going to be messing around in the kitchen and not keeping that clean. Do you see? So they care for the details, and you can be sure they'll care for the big things. And God cares for the birds. And the birds are just birds, but human beings are uniquely made in his image. So he cannot fail to care for us. So he says, verse 25, stop worrying. You can't add any hours to your life by doing so. But trust God who cares for the birds. And then there's the lilies. And this is a point about the kind of care that God provides. Look at verse 27. Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And this is to say that in general, God's care and provision is not limited to just sort of functional things. This is how he clothes the lilies, Jesus says. He clothes them in beauty. It's not a case of saying, well, yes, God's going to provide, but what he's going to provide is actually just kind of cheap orange boiler suits that do the job of concealing your nakedness, or, you know, a shed that keeps the rain off your head. It's more than that. See, in principle, and we have to say in principle, God is in the business of clothing his creation in beauty. Now, of course, there are all kinds of caveats here, particularly in our consumer culture, and we would be foolish to miss the fact that this is just after Jesus has told the parable of the rich fool who went after things in this creation and stored them up in his storehouse and was found to be foolish because that night his life would be demanded of him. And so this is not condoning the idolatry of beautiful things or of created things. But at the same time, it's saying, look, God is concerned and interested in more than just making sure stuff works. He's saying, no, the beauty of creation reflects my own beauty. So, you know, in principle and in isolation from other considerations about what you do with your money, there's nothing wrong with spending a little bit more on something that not merely works but looks a bit nicer. There's nothing wrong with a bit of makeup, or an iPhone that is beautifully and wonderfully made. Here we are. You know, in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, of course, you have to consider everything in context with everything else and what you spend your money on and the rest of it. But you'd be wrong to think that if you're really spiritual, you do things God's way, then you're going to have to go around in sackcloth and live in a mud hut. That's not how he works. That doesn't reflect his character and his concern for his people. He cares for his people, and he loves to give them good and beautiful things, so stop worrying. Now, of course, that does raise a few questions, doesn't it? Because if you are a sort of worrier, you'll already have thought of them. Because, well, if that's true then, why do some people, in particular some Christians, seem to lack these things? Why do the basic needs of food, clothing and health seem to be withheld from people sometimes? Well, the answer to this is a principle, which is not the same as a rule for all circumstances. This isn't a prosperity gospel, the idea that God wants you to be rich in this life. If only you've got enough faith, then you can have all the sports cars and everything else that you want. It's not what Jesus is saying. What this passage says is that God is the kind of God who cares for his people and he loves to give them good things. But that's just, you know, looking at it from one point of view. It doesn't explain or account for all his actions in every place and every time. And sometimes he may have good reasons for withholding those good things. So we're going to think a bit more about that over the next couple of talks. But that is the first thing that we see here. He cares for things that are less valuable, the birds and the lilies, and he clothes them in beauty. So if he does that, he's certainly going to care for those who are made in his image and are his people who trust in him. And the second, so that's the first reason. The second reason that we know that God is our sovereign, generous Father is he gives you something that is more valuable than all those things. He gives you something that is more valuable. So look at verse 29. Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. So before, the argument was from the lesser to the greater. If he cares for birds, he will certainly care for you. Now the argument is the other way around. It's from the greater to the lesser. If he's given you the kingdom, well, he's certainly going to sort out these kind of more minor matters of food and clothing. It's a bit like having a sort of generous uncle or something who says, look, I really love you and I want to show you how much I care for you, so I've decided to pay for you to go on an all-expenses trip to Barbados. And you know, you think, oh, that's fantastic, because you know this kind of thing, that costs thousands of pounds. That is not cheap. And you think, that is so generous of my kind uncle to do that. And you say, thank you very much. And then you start to worry. And what you worry about is, how am I going to get to the airport? Will I be able to afford a taxi? And the generous uncle finds out about this and he says, don't be ridiculous. Do you think I'm going to shell out thousands of pounds for you to go on this amazing holiday and then withhold the trip to the airport? I've given you something really valuable. You can be sure I'm going to sort out the little details, the little inconsequential things like getting to the airport that don't really matter. You see, that's how it is here. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom, a place with him forever in the new heavens and the new earth. He's given you the gift of his Son, who died on the cross and rose from the dead to make that all possible. You've got the most precious gift in the universe. And what that tells us about our Father is that he is generous and he loves to give. And so next to the kingdom, these needs of the here and now, food and clothing, health, all the rest of it, well, they're just inconsequential and humdrum. It's a trip to the airport in a taxi compared to lying by the pool drinking cocktails with those little umbrellas on them. You see, the pagan world runs after food and clothing. They make that the be-all and end-all because there's nothing else. There's nothing else to go after. But your Father knows that you can't live in this world without those things, and he's got it in hand. Don't worry about it. What you need to do, Jesus says, is seek his kingdom, and you'll find he sorts out everything else. So yes, there's a mortgage to pay, there are children to feed and clothe, but God's got it in hand. Focus on the big stuff, focus on the stuff that really matters. And the extraordinary thing is that as you do that, you find that your priorities and perspective are changed. And you get to verse 33, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When we're obsessed with the here and now, and we can't take our eyes off earthly matters and where the next meal is coming from and what's going on with that, those words just sound crazy, don't they? I'm worried about just surviving, and Jesus is telling me to give stuff away. Is he mad? But those are the values of the kingdom. The thing about fear and worry is that it's all relative. One of the one of the things that will quickly drive away a particular fear or concern about something is if something even more worrying or concerning comes along instead. So, you know, you one day the fridge is broken, you think, oh no, that's really annoying, I'm going to have to call someone out to fix it, it's going to cost money, and how are we going to afford it, and one of us is going to have to stay in and wait for the repair guy to come, and you know, you can worry away at something like that, it gets very annoying. But then the phone goes, and you hear a family member's gone into hospital, and they've had a suspected heart attack. Suddenly there's a whole new layer of worry, isn't there, and actually the fridge is completely irrelevant. Who cares about the fridge when something horrible like that's happened? That's the kind of thing Jesus is doing here, although he's not removing one worry by giving us something even worse. He's weaning us off our worries and concerns by giving us a vision of something bigger and better that just puts that worry that we have into perspective. Here is God's kingdom. Here is a relationship with our sovereign and generous Heavenly Father that lasts forever, even through death. And here are the values of that kingdom that free you just to say, actually, all this stuff doesn't really matter. I can be free to give things away. It's mouthwatering, isn't it? Imagine if the world actually worked like that. Wouldn't that be a wonderful place to live? Well, that is the kingdom that Jesus has given us and promises us. See, faced with the command not to worry and not be afraid, we will easily shrink back and think, well, I can't do this. I can't stop worrying about everything that's going on. Life is complicated. But God doesn't just say, well, don't worry. He says, well, actually, worry about this instead. Worry about my kingdom where I'm in charge, where one day there will be no more broken fridges, there will be no more sick husbands, there will be no more illness, there will be no more unemployment. None of these other things that we worry about now. It will all be gone. Worry about that. Focus on that that's coming in the future. And of course I'll look after everything else in the meantime. And as we do that, we find that our priorities totally change. Suddenly, where we were worried before about whether we had enough money, now we're worried about how we can give it away. Where before we were worried about what people think of us, now we're worried about how we can love those people that we used to be so scared of. There's a wonderful freedom and liberty in the life of the kingdom, which frees us from that slavery of being consumed with worry about the here and now, and replaces it with the service of something much greater. One or two here might be familiar with some words from the Book of Common Prayer, the old Anglican prayer book, which has this words in one of the collects: "In God's service is perfect freedom." Sounds like nonsense, but it's absolutely true, isn't it? In God's service is perfect freedom. The world doesn't understand that, but that is how it works, and that is how we find freedom from fear. And I guess these kind of fears and worries are not just individual, are they? But you can feel them as a church. So it may feel quite precarious coming to be part of a small church like Christ Church. Maybe you might have been part of something bigger in the past, I don't know. And there's loads more to worry about, isn't there, in a small setup? Because, you know, if somebody doesn't turn up, nothing happens. Whereas in a bigger setup, well, it will just all keep ticking over whether you turn up or not. And it's easy to sort of feel fear about that. But actually, what is Jesus telling us the solution is here? The solution is to focus on his kingdom, to start serving with that kingdom in mind. And actually, suddenly you won't have time for those fears, that kind of thing. Is it going to be okay? Well, we don't know. But God is in charge. Focus on his kingdom, and he will take you with him. So can we trust God as we face our worries and anxieties about life? Well, yes, we can, because what we've seen, he cares for things that are less valuable. He gives us something that is more valuable than all our cares and concerns in this life. So trust him. He is our sovereign and our generous Father. And that is what we're going to be continuing to think about as we go through this weekend. As we think about how we can trust him, how does God teach us to trust him? That's what we're going to come on to next. We're going to, in those prayer groups, we've got a couple of questions that you can look at in your groups. Just to try and, it's always helpful, isn't it, when you don't just have to listen, but you can start to discuss what we've been hearing. So that's just an opportunity later on to talk through some of these things. And you know, if I'm around this weekend, if you just want to come and talk to me as well, I'm very happy to talk about anything that you want to speak about. I know I'm very sort of tall and scary looking, but no, I am. I promise not to. I promise to be friendly. So do come and find me if you want to do that as well. I'd love to talk to you. Brilliant.